Welcome to the realm of heroes and monsters. Storytime with your host, A.P. Fuchs. Stories of intrigue, stories of horror, stories of superheroics, stories of monsters. Get ready, the thrill ride begins.
And we're back again with a new episode of the Realm of Heroes and Monsters with your host, me, A.P. Fuchs. So, thanks for tuning in. I don't know if you're listening to this on a audio platform like Spotify, for example, or YouTube Music, or if you're watching the listen-watch version on YouTube proper. Either way, glad to have you here. Thank you for tuning in for this episode, and thank you for listening to previous episodes if you've done so. And if you haven't done so, please go and do so. There's lots of stories we've been telling. We're three seasons in. We're almost done season three. Season one had 30 stories. Season two had a little over 20. Season three, this one that we're doing right now, will have 30 at the end, and we're getting close to it. So we got lots of tales, and there are plans for a season four, but I'm going to take a bit of a break before I get into that. I think I mentioned this in another episode solely because I have to do some catch up on some Axiom Man work prior to getting back into the podcast scene. But in the meantime, here we are. So let's get into story before the story, because it has to do with something that people don't want to admit. Well, not so much that. Maybe people don't recognize is occurring. So let's take a look. Welcome to Story Before the Story, where this season three, we're exploring stories in everyday life and how everything in your life is a story. Story related on some level, 1 through 10, doesn't matter. Either way, story is always a part of life. Last season, we did the story behind the story, and that was that just it. A story was read, and then we gave the story behind that particular story. This season, we're doing the opposite. We're doing story before the story while exploring this theme of life itself being complete fiction. So check this out. Everybody in this context that I'm talking about is a writer. Everyone, right? We do it all the time to move the narrative of our life forward. How do we do that with writing? Simple stuff, right? The honey-do list. You're giving the story to the person that you're handing it to, their story for the day. That's true. Same with your grocery list. You wrote it down, hence writing, and that is your story for when you go to the store. But to make it even a little more elaborate, let's just look at your average office job, right? Most folks, at some point or another, will have to give a presentation. Well, what's a presentation? A presentation is a show. And what does a show have? A show has a beginning, middle, and end. And how does every presentation go? It always has what? The intro, the meat of it all, and then, of course, the recap, because it's always essay format, right? But that's exactly how a book works. You got your beginning to get into it, to introduce everything, and then you get into the thick of it throughout the whole, you know, story plot, etc., and then it climaxes at the end, and then you kind of have a little wind down, and then it's over. So even through your job, you're doing stories. You're sending your boss an email. You're telling them what's going on. You're giving them all this information, telling the stories of what's occurring with your work. They're giving you feedback, which is a story about your work, and so on. So stories are just non-stop. And we're talking about the workplace today. So, and the thing is, what's really great too, is every job has a workplace, right? Because you have to be physically situated somewhere. Even if you are fortunate enough to, say, work off a beach or whatever, that's great. But, I mean, like, example, you call a cab or an Uber or whatever, right? Have you ever stopped and talked with the driver instead of just sitting there looking at your phone? Talk to these people. They will tell you work stories like you would not believe. And they are fascinating. They are interesting. It prompts questions, which lead to more stories. It just keeps going and going and going. So we're in story mode, like I keep saying, all the time. We just don't seem to recognize it because we always chalk it up to some other task, right? Like the grocery list, for example. Well, it's just a list. Yeah, on the surface, it's just a list, but what is it? Ask a writer who outlines their books first before writing them. That's exactly what an outline is. It's just a step-by-step, this happens, then this, right? And that's the same with your grocery list. It's the same with your list of laundry. It's your whatever. So it's just endless. But anyway, that's what I wanted to talk about this week, was just saying you're doing stories even at work. And maybe next time, you know, when you go into the office or wherever, and, you know, the day's maybe not going quite so well, well, remember this little part about the stories, and maybe you might end up having a little bit of fun to make that day a little bit better. So now, let's get on with the story about just that, a writer who's, let's just say, he's kind of done. Cheers. Burnt out. His time was coming to a close. Peter Fox wasn't sure how to start his autobiography, but that one line seemed appropriate, because it was true. Peter's time was coming to a close, and he wasn't sure if that was a metaphor for something professional or personal. His writing career was average, above average, actually, in that he'd written over 40 books in the same amount of time it took most writers to write 17, but he was also below average, he knew, in terms of income, stardom. The 40-plus books didn't earn him a heck of a whole lot month in and month out. And what made it worse was he knew there were guys out there making a killing off a handful of titles. But he'd never been in publishing for the money. Oh, sure. In the beginning, there was a dreaming phase of big adventures and advances, a giant house and a few cars. Later, though, he learned those kinds of things were the exception, not the rule. Still, he tried and wrote book after book, trying to make his mark in a crowded industry. Tried to make a name amongst a sea of others. He was partially successful. It wasn't that his work was awful. The reviews came back positive 8 times out of 10. It was just he couldn't seem to surface, you know, above the water level and surf the wave of fortune and glory. All he did was write. All he did was pour out his heart on the page through the veil of fiction. All he did was lose everything and everyone, including himself, in the process. Now, life consisted of fitful sleeps on some nights, exquisitely lengthy dream fests on others. Alcohol, caffeine, and nicotine saw him through the day. So did copious amounts of quetiapine, clonazepam, and citalopram. So did muscle relaxers and painkillers. It seemed he had a liver of steel. He hoped after all this time of pouring himself out and taking all those stimulants, it would finally catch up with him. Instead, they seemed to keep him going, fueling more words amidst the heartbreak of losing his family and always seeming to fall short of the mark despite how much work he put forward. Yet, the readers, the small audience he had, they wanted more, so he had to keep going, keep fighting, keep the depression and anxiety at bay. He had to live in his head and stay there, because any person or thing outside of it didn't give two shits about him as a person. He hated this world, hated what he'd become, an angry, drug- and alcohol-fueled writer who only wanted to take people on adventures with his work, who only wanted a life like the ones he'd written about. But that life never came. All he had was pain and a heartbreak story of losing his wife and kids through a divorce. All he had were daily battles to draw more and more people to his work, while at the same time producing even more work to draw them to. Peter prayed and hoped the drugs and alcohol would finally do their job, would finally be too much, would finally put an end to his miserable existence. Writers were more successful when they were dead anyway, so death seemed the next logical step in taking things to the next level. Peter looked at the pill bottles, the whiskey, the cigarettes, and decided his autobiography would end the same way he opened it. His time was coming to a close.
Thank you.
And we're back after the credits, and as always, thanks for sticking around all the way to the end. This one I hope is worth it. Let's put it this way. There comes a point in a person's life where you kind of start realizing that most of this around us, most of these events, most of the people even, most of the stuff that's spoken, most of the stuff that's on TV, etc., it's just 100% a joke. I mean, it really is. I mean, think about the adult world, and is an exact mirror to you being in kindergarten, right? What happens when you draw a nice picture in kindergarten? Well, the teacher gives you a blue little sticker saying, good job. Well, you know what? In the workplace, you do a good job, guess what happens? You get a work reward of some kind. It's the exact same thing. Teacher sits at the front of the class, boss sits at the front of the aisle. You know, and it gets to the point of being silly. You know, we start off serious. We go into life serious. We hope to make the best of things in a serious manner for the things that need to be treated seriously. But after a bunch of crap, and you finally come out on the other side of it, you actually look back and you realize that stuff was really not that serious to begin with, even at the time if the magnitude seems severe. And you start realizing the silliness in virtually everything a human being does. We're a ridiculous species, let's be honest, and we do so much dumb crap all the time. And I just think that it's great that if a person gets to a point where you start realizing that most of life is a joke, you can make a joke out of most of it, you can make comedy out of most of it, you can make humor out of most of it, and even the stuff that's dark and tragic, if you have a dark sense of humor, you can even twist it a little bit that way too. But the point is, maybe something to consider. It's something that I've been noticing in my own life, and recognizing that most things are jokey has made things better and easier. So perhaps that might work for you too. Your mileage may vary, but yeah, man, this whole thing's a joke. It really is. And I hope on the day that I die, there's some sort of opportunity for them to take my dead corpse and exit it off stage left in front of everybody, full audience, because show is over. Anyway, that's enough. Let's just get on with the weekend, okay? Take care.